IL Women Podcast, the source of her sport.
Podcast shooting space where I chat with some really, really amazing influential women within the game of lacrosse. Today, we've got Lauren Gilbert with us. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. Happy it's Friday. I feel like we are this Friday.
Definitely. Me too.
And Lauren, you are fresh off your rookie season with Athletes Unlimited Lacrosse. We'll chat a little bit more about it in a little bit, but what's it been like just kind of getting some time to really reflect on your first pro season?
Yeah, I've definitely been doing a lot of reflecting. I think it's definitely a come down coming off of college and then pro, because I knew coming out of the college season, I would still have the AU season to look forward to. So I think, you know, it was an incredible experience. I'm really grateful for it. I'm really grateful for all the strong women who have kind of pioneered these opportunities for us to continue playing, because it's definitely really difficult to grapple with the fact that, you know, your time in college is finished. And so, yeah, I had an amazing time competing at AU, and I hope to continue to build on that opportunity to compete at the professional level.
Of course. And I had fun watching and getting to cheer you and all the amazing, you know, women on the roster as well. So it's been a great summer, and I'm excited to get some downtime too, but let's kind of start all the way to the beginning. So I feel like it's easy to just Google Lauren Gilbert lacrosse. You know, we'll see your bio, we'll see your stats or YouTube or whatever, but if you could describe yourself, who is Lauren Gilbert, the person and also the player?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm from Portland, Oregon, so I'm a very outdoorsy girl at heart. I love to be outside, love to just, you know, quality alone time. I'm definitely more of an introvert. So I love to be social and I can be very outgoing, but I also love time by myself, going on walks, going on runs. I think I'm going to get more into running now that I'm not playing as much. Also really admire quality time with my family. My sister and I are very close. She's a junior at Stanford and plays there as well. And I think I'm just a really hard worker. I love to do things that I'm passionate about. I put absolutely everything into them, and lacrosse and being a Northwestern lacrosse player happened to be one of those things. And I think, you know, I definitely had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder being from a quote non-traditional area. And I think that definitely made me want to work even harder, and that insatiable drive sort of allowed me to improve each year that I was there. But I also just love giving to something bigger than myself, and I think that I learned how to do that in a greater capacity over time, and just plan to continue to do that beyond. I think that that's something that transcends your career, is really being able to give back to, you know, whether it's your teammates, whether it's my sister, whether it's the next generation of players. And I think that, you know, I've just loved this sport, and I'm fortunate that it's been a passion of mine and that there are so many opportunities to do what I described and to keep giving back to it.
Awesome. Awesome. Love that. They need to write that down, like transcribe that and put that in. Feeling pumped. And you mentioned being from Oregon and how some may view it as a non-traditional background. I think it's such an interesting time because we're really now looking at that sort of phrase and realizing that it doesn't necessarily matter where someone comes from. It's how much they love the game, how hard they work, and how well they play. But what was playing lacrosse in Oregon like, you know, kind of through your lens and when you started playing up until going to college?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was fortunate that I had a really positive experience with my high school team. I think leading into high school, I really wasn't super involved with the whole club circuit just because we didn't really have those options. So I did what I could, but it was definitely very limited. And there weren't any of those clubs that sort of funneled you in from a very young age. There was kind of one rec league in my area that I participated in, and it was different stuff throughout the spring and summer. But that was really it. It was super low key. And then I got to high school, and I was fortunate that my high school coach, she played at Dartmouth. And so she kind of knew the landscape pretty well, probably the most experienced lacrosse coach person in the area, and had a history of being pretty much the top team in the state. And so we ended up winning state my freshman year. And that's sort of what pushed me into wanting to play lacrosse in college, because prior to that, I had been in the whole club soccer circuit, which is a lot bigger in terms of the club scene out west. And I really thought I wanted to be a soccer player. But I really ended up falling in love with it after my freshman year of high school and started putting a little bit more effort into club stuff after that. With what I could, I went up and played with the Seattle Stars for a few tournaments because they were getting more exposure to some of those recruiting tournaments on the East Coast. But really, I did a lot of work on my own. So it wasn't exactly the nonstop club practices that fine-tuned my game. It was a lot of stuff that I did on my own.
Yeah. And I love hearing that too, about like the individual and the solo work that you did. And I feel like there are some parallels to soccer too, like a lot of dribbling on your own and cone work and shooting. So what were some of the things that you found were most helpful to honing in your game and making you a better player?
Definitely. I think the cross training was huge, obviously continue. Like I played soccer all the way through high school. So just being super fit, that was something that I always looked at as an edge of mine. I really prided myself on going in as one of the fittest players and maintaining that throughout my career. So just doing a ton of different stuff for my fitness, but also I just worked super hard on my shooting, my dodging. My dad and my sister would always go out to the field with me and the three of us would kind of come up with different creative drills that we could do. And, you know, we've been doing that for several years now. So I'm sure I'll continue to get out there with my sister, but that kind of fostered not only the hard work component, but the creativity component. I think my dad really helped inspire the both of us in that way. He wasn't a lacrosse player, but just a great athlete. He played football in college and loves sports and loves working with us. So I think that, yeah, it was just a lot of like going out to the field and doing really intentional things. I think it's easy to go to the field and just take a bucket of balls and stand there and throw them at the goal, but obviously that's not going to translate into a game. And so I think I really learned how to train myself in a way that would actually translate onto the field.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's always so fun to see kind of the different analytical ways that people train. And you know, it's key that you identified what worked for you. I think that's another part is like, you know, what works for one person might not work for another person, or, you know, they might have different skill sets or be better with one hand or both hands or a better shooter than a better dodger. Like there's kind of all these different things that apply, but just finding what works for you, like I feel like just does wonders for your growth.
Totally. Totally.
Tell me about your decision to go to Northwestern. What was it? Was it the purple? Because for me,
yeah. Totally. Yeah, it all happened so fast. It was definitely going there in the summer. I will say I did not visit in the winter before I committed. So after my freshman year of high school, I've kind of told this story a few times, so you might have heard it. But, you know, I told my parents I wanted to play in college. They were the people who I kind of looked to help me with my recruiting process. Because like I said, I didn't have that club coach who was in my corner and had those connections. So my dad really just went to his Google search and looked up best women's lacrosse programs. And obviously Northwestern popped right up there coming off all their national championships. And this is very much his mentality. Like, let's just see how you stack up against the best. So he was like, we're going to send you to the camp and just see how you do. And, you know, I definitely wasn't like a top lacrosse player at the time. I was athletic. Unfortunate that I've been blessed with natural athletic skill that stood out at the camp to them, but definitely wasn't on like that top field with all the people on their lists or anything. But I was very persistent with them and knew from the second that I stepped foot on the campus for camp and was around the girls who were coaching us, I was like, this is it. I want to come here. I want to be a part of this. I want to help, you know, like build on this dream that this program has cultivated for all these women. This is so cool. And so, like I said, I was super persistent with them, told them how badly I wanted to come. And I think that was a big reason why they ended up wanting me, is because of how badly I wanted them. And so they saw me at one tournament that fall, and then I ended up committing after that. I was talking to some other schools like Ivies, but I really didn't consider any other schools that heavily. And back then, obviously the recruiting was happening earlier on. So it's kind of crazy. I was only 16 and just went with my gut.
Yeah. I love it though. Like, the one, your dad helping. I feel like dads are really the MVPs of Google. I feel like my dad can find anything. Like, I know how to do this. Like, oh, what up? I know how to find it. Like, let's go. You know, and I think for parents too, that's such an important message to hear, because sometimes the sentiment that I see is a lot of parents panicking because maybe they feel like they don't know lacrosse well enough to help their, you know, their kids or help their players. But to some extent, it's just a matter of like the research, the reaching out, and then the pushing your child to be like, no, like try, give it a try and see, don't count yourself out or don't, you know, expect X, Y, Z. But at least if you just give it a shot, you just never know what's going to happen.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. And I think that, you know, since the lacrosse world is so small and I'm fortunate to now have all these connections through playing for Kelly and playing at AU, I'm hoping to help some of these Oregon and California girls that I'm going to be working with now to be able to like establish those connections earlier on, because the recruiting process can be so overwhelming. But I think when you have someone that's, like you said, pushing you and helping you get your foot in the door, that can make all the difference.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So what was it like playing at Northwestern? I mean, we've all seen you on TV. We saw you doing your thing. I got to watch you in person on championship weekend, which is so much fun. But well, yeah, we'll talk about that too. From a fan perspective, very enjoyable. I'd love to hear about your experience playing, you know, for Coach Kelly, because that's one of the people that I look up to so much. And I'm sure you learned a ton during your time there.
Totally. I mean, it was the greatest challenge of my life, but it was also the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done in my life. And I think, you know, I really had no idea what I was getting into. I made this commitment and I never looked back. Like I never questioned it. I knew I wanted to go there. But you get there and obviously you have no idea what to expect. So I think freshman year was kind of a blur. I didn't really play. I was kind of questioning everything about myself. I lost a lot of confidence. And I think I went into that summer and I was like, okay, I can either choose to kind of like, you know, give up on myself or really let these doubts consume me, or I can kick it into gear and have confidence in myself and come back next year stronger and go after what I want and what I set out to do here. And so I think I went home that summer and worked really hard, came back in that fall and showed exponential improvement. And then I think things really took off from there. Kelly ended up moving me to attack that fall. I'd been playing midfield my freshman year. And I think that she really was hard on me freshman year, but in a way that showed how much she believed in me. And I think that that is what pushed me to want to work so hard. And so we ended up obviously building a really good relationship over time. I was a captain my senior year and my fifth year. And I think, you know, it was incredible being able to go from having a relationship with this person where you're kind of scared of them, you want to please them, like you look up to them so much, to being able to really like collaborate with them on this all important mission to not only win a national championship, but just like bring this program together, have an incredible culture and make this the experience that we all want it to be. And I think that like reflecting back, every year was so different, but I learned so much every year. And I think that I'm so proud of what, you know, my class did for the program. I think obviously there was this Northwestern lacrosse dynasty, and then there was a little bit of a dip. And I think that a lot of what my class did was really help bring Northwestern back to that Final Four team and reestablish that winning culture. And I'm super proud of that. And I think it really made me the confident woman that I am. Like I said, I think I went into it and my instinct when things weren't going well was to question myself and be like, am I supposed to be here? Like all these girls are so good. What am I doing? But I think I really grew into that confident woman, leader and player. And I think that that's kind of what was ultimately on display on championship weekend. I was just, you know, it was the biggest game of my career, but I was just having so much fun and playing at my highest level. And I think that even though it was fleeting, which is extremely hard to process, that was an incredible feeling and a feeling that a lot of people don't get to experience. So I'm forever grateful for that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like, it gives me chills just hearing you share kind of your sentiments and the growth that you've had too, because I know so many people can relate. Like I can relate, if something goes wrong or if I don't get something I really want, then I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm supposed to be here, if I'm supposed to do this thing. And it's almost not that it's easy to give up, especially giving up on yourself, but sometimes it's like, is the universe telling me that that's exactly what I need to do? But you have to turn it around and you have to say, okay, well, what other gear do I have, right? Like what resources do I have within myself, outside of myself? Like who can help me get better? Because then if you just give up, you don't get to see the other side. You don't see the captain and the leader and all the different things. So I think, you know, it's just great to hear that you were able to find your groove and like find who you were meant to be at Northwestern.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think it's a really important message for young girls to hear, because You know, like you said, I think especially for women, there are so many things telling us that like we shouldn't be confident in ourselves and we should be insecure and we should compare ourselves to everyone around us. And that's especially prevalent in women's sports, right? Like you go into the locker room and there's 30, 40 other girls who you have to compare yourself to. And I think that it's really easy to lose sight of who you are and the value that you're bringing to the table. And so it definitely was a lot of work to always center back on that throughout my career. And I hope that there can continue to be role models that spread that message, because it is so important for, you know, in any endeavor that you're trying to tackle.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Wow. You're hitting like all the high. I'm like, which one of these clips are we going to use? We got to post the whole thing. It's so important to mention that. I mean, because I've been thinking about that too. Like, I love social media. You know, I stay on Twitter sometimes a little too much. But every single day, right? Twitter, Instagram, all these places, you're kind of inundated by this is ideal. This is perfection. This is the perfect athlete, the perfect whatever. And I think for me, like my usual reaction, my typical reaction is to say, well, no, like I know I'm really good at this thing and like I'm not gonna let that affect me. But even if you actively try to not let it affect you, sometimes it does kind of creep in, right? The doubt creeps in or the comparison creeps in, and even more so when you're in like a really competitive place.
Definitely, I think so too. And I think, you know, it's important to, when you have kind of achieved that level of success, I think it's so important to be able to be vulnerable and say like, no, I did struggle really hard along the way. Like, you know, that should be something that people are open to talking about, so that it's normalized and that it's something that when other people experience, they don't feel alone, because that's what really helped me whenever I was having a really hard time at Northwestern or felt like I was at a low point. I would look to, you know, whether it was my teammates who had gone through similar things, or I'd even like look to other athletes' memoirs, sharing their struggles, like things that they had overcome that were a lot harder than what I was trying to overcome. And I was like, okay, I can do this. Like, I got this. I know I have this. You know, every time I've encountered this obstacle, like I've overcome it, I can do it again. And so it's really building that narrative for yourself and having a community of people that you can lean on while doing it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And fast forward to now, you are fresh off your inaugural season with Athletes Unlimited Lacrosse. Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like maybe getting recruited to play at AU, what the process was and how you felt before the season started?
Yeah, I think it was really a whirlwind. The draft was less than a week after our last game in the Final Four. And so obviously I was still really down about that and processing the emotions of that. And so it was exciting, but I don't think I was fully able to lean into the AU thing until I had like fully kind of accepted what had happened in the Final Four. And so during the draft, it was kind of like, you know, mixed emotions. I was like, this is a super cool opportunity, but like, how do I feel about lacrosse right now? Like, this is all a lot. And like, I want to do it. Obviously I want to keep playing, but I just need to like get to a place where I'm mentally there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after a few weeks kind of processing, moving out of Evanston, dealing with all of that, then I was able to look at it through an optimistic and excited lens. And just looking at the roster of all the women who are doing it, I was like, this is so freaking cool. Like, I get there, I'm drafted onto Sam and Dempsey's team, like literally two players who I idolized and call it like my first few years of college. And so, you know, right off the bat, I was fortunate that I started off well, and I had someone like Sam who was kind of mentoring me. And so that really helped me sort of get in my groove right off the bat, because it's definitely very different. Going into it, I didn't really know what to expect in terms of how the rules would translate. I don't think I was really in my head about the point system. It was more about sort of, obviously I knew there weren't really going to be any fouls, and like the 8 meter is a big part of my game. I'm smaller. I definitely get tossed around even in the college game. And those girls are even bigger and stronger. And so I was like, I'm not sure how this is going to go for me. And it was definitely a challenge, but I was blown away by just the quality of the competition and the pace of the game, how competitive it was. I think it was also like going into it, obviously the Final Four is, there's thousands of people in the stands. It's this huge game, the pinnacle of everything you've worked for your whole life. And then, you know, being a professional athlete, also incredible, but because it's so new, you're kind of thinking like, how is this going to compare? Like, is it going to feel as important? Mm-hmm. You know, how am I going to feel on the field? And, you know, it's definitely was different, but I was very pleasantly surprised with just how badly I wanted to win for my team. And, every game, every moment counts, obviously, with the way AU works. And so I think everyone really brought their A game to everything, which was so cool to be a part of, and really helped me realize that, like, I'm still going to have that opportunity to compete at the highest level.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just kind of going back to what you said at the beginning about processing your feelings about the Final Four and Northwestern not having the chance to move on to the title game and then going into AU, I feel like that's such an interesting moment, because a lot of times, right, when we see players graduate, we're just like, okay, well, yeah, they graduated, they had a great career, they graduated, and like, we're so proud of you. But maybe not enough times, no one's really asking, how are you feeling, right? Like, are you good? Are you ready for the next phase?
Totally. I think that was something that was really hard for me, and something I just really wish, you know, having now gone through it, and it was something that I had kind of thought about beforehand. Obviously, you have this anxiety around your career ending. It's 5 years there, but it's really your whole life going into it, and then it just ends so suddenly. And having gone through it now, like, I just really wish there was more support for athletes going through that, because, you know, people care, obviously, especially after a game like that. Like, people are heartbroken for you, people are reaching out and showing their support, and you know, showing how proud of you they are. And that's great, but that lasts a few days, and then you have to deal with it on your own. And that's really, really hard. And I think that identity crisis is definitely an understatement. I was, you know, I had a really hard time dealing with that. And I wanted, you know, it was hard because I obviously wanted to be optimistic about the future. And I think I was hard on myself with that. I'm like, why am I not, you know, excited about this? And I should be, but I can't move on from this yet. And so I think, yeah, I'm not sure what the answer is, but being a college athlete, it's everything to you. Like, your life revolves around your sport. And like I said, it ends so suddenly. And I think, you know, for us, the fashion that it ended in was also extremely difficult. And so, yeah, it was not, that month was really, really challenging.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing. And I think that's a really great call to action as well for people listening. You know, it's always exciting to see that there are initiatives that are kind of starting to get built out. I spoke at, you know, USA Lacrosse had Urban Lacrosse Alliance conference and talked about my own experience with like mental health as a student athlete and trying to juggle, like, you're away from home and you're trying to keep your grades up and you're playing a sport. And, you know, I think that's even another point that people should harp on is what happens, quote unquote, at the end, because like you said, like, you've worked your whole life for those 4 or 5 years or however many years, and there is so much life thereafter, but making that transition and just understanding, like, how do I come to peace with what happened here and then look to, you know, an exciting future. I think that's something really important.
Definitely.
Well, listen, the future is bright for you though. We saw you. I think I had to see, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I said, if you see Lauren Gilbert's ponytail.
I think I saw that tweet.
That's the analysis that they really pay me for. You know what I mean? Like, I'm hitting news and I'm bringing it. The ponytail. But no, it was so electrifying to watch. And from a fan perspective, it almost felt like you had been playing AU forever. And something else I was thinking about too is, you know, kind of across social media, the discourse was, well, who knows if Northwestern's going to make it to Final Four because they haven't played all these ACC teams. Like, y'all have no idea. Like, you have no idea what's coming. And I was just excited for you because you showed, like, Northwestern is on the come up, has been on the come up, and, like, there's more to come.
Thank you. That really means a lot because that was really kind of my mission. Like I said, when I got there, it was kind of like, there had been a dip and we were trying to get back to that team. And there was always like something to prove. And I think every year I was there, we got better. And I think that this past year, like you said, being able to achieve that does give me peace of mind. And like hearing you say that, like, it really, it's so incredible and gratifying to hear because that was the goal. And I think like we were always that team that was kind of like, you know, overlooked, you know, the media outlets never were gassing us up. You always had our back, but like,
I recognize.
There was a lot of like, always, you know, within our team, like fuel to the fire with what was being posted on social media, because it was never giving us credit. And looking back, I think that helped us have that insatiable, you know, hunger to get better. And every time on the field, we stepped on the field, like we knew that we had to bring our best. And so, yeah, it means a lot that we were able to achieve that. And I hope that I'm excited for the team this year. I think they're in a really good spot. And I think obviously you want your legacy to transcend your time and you want it to carry over into those next years. And so I really hope that, and I think that it will carry on to this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think it definitely will too. And you've got you now in the pros and Lindsay in the pros, Northwestern players, like kind of making their mark there as well. Would you say that the style of play was different in any way, like going from college to pros? Obviously the rules are different, but I'm curious if you felt like you kind of had to change up your game to adjust to maybe playing with and against a whole crop of new people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, obviously being an offensive player, there was a little bit less time to mesh with your offense. And so I think we really just try to play into everyone's strengths. And I think Sam, I was on her team for 3 weeks and she did a really good job of orchestrating that. Like she would be that feeder playmaker from behind. I would kind of have that right wing dodging spot. And then Dempsey and the other middies would come down that other side, also hard dodgers. And so I think that you really have to be aggressive also, especially given the rules, like you got to get your shots off quickly and you got to, you know, not be afraid to penetrate the defense. Cause like I said, you're not going to get those calls that you would typically get around the eight. And so I think that, I had to maybe adjust my mentality a little bit in terms of that, just being able to like, not being able to tuck my stick and get through, you know, several people who might be trying to hit me, because that's what would typically happen anytime you went anywhere near the eight. So yeah, I think just being able to embrace that physicality was probably the biggest adjustment for me. And obviously also the smaller field was a little bit difficult because I'm used to playing in that high spot and sort of coming in on the transition. But that's something that I want to, you know, be more creative with next year, because I think it was hard to get the transition game unless you had someone like Becca Block or Lizzie Coulson sprinting out of the defense. But yeah, it was definitely harder to get transitions, which are kind of one of my favorite parts of the game.
Good to know. Good to know. And you mentioned being on Sam's team three times, and I think earlier you referred that, you know, to her as someone that was kind of mentoring you on the offense and then, you know, being part of the AU system. How important is it to identify mentors or other players that can really help influence and help you improve, especially at this higher level?
Yeah, I think it's incredibly important. And it's actually something I was a little bit nervous about, because there aren't a lot of Northwestern girls. Like Lindsay's the only older Northwestern person there, and she's great. And I got to be on her team for a week, but I knew I'd kind of have to build some of those other relationships as well. And so it helped me a ton knowing that someone like Sam and Dempsey had confidence in me, and just really helped me to build on my game more each week. So I think, yeah, especially for the girls who have already been kind of established in the professional scene, established in the USA scene, like they obviously already have that chemistry and those relationships with one another. And like, you know, obviously like the UNC cohort, the BC cohort, they're a lot bigger than the Northwestern cohort. So I was, you know, fortunate that I was able to build some of those other relationships, and hopefully we'll continue to build on those in the future. But I will say the older girls were, I mean, I was blown away by how welcoming they were. Some of these women who are in like their late 20s, obviously really far out of college, were, you know, treating us like we were on the same level as they were, and like we were their friends. And I think that was really just a pleasant surprise. Not that I didn't expect that, but I just wasn't sure what to expect in terms of how open people would be to those relationships. And I think I walked away with great relationships with girls across all different ages. So that was really a great part of the experience as well.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Love that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what are you up to now in kind of the off season? What can we keep an eye out for? Any maybe coaching initiatives or clinics or different things like that, that other people can connect with you on?
Yeah, definitely. My schedule is kind of getting a little bit busy with work and then different lacrosse stuff. So I just moved to San Francisco, actually. So I'll be doing some stuff in the Bay Area. I'm working with a Tenacity team, and then also doing some stuff with the San Francisco sort of like city rec team. And then definitely planning to do some clinics on the side. And I'm also going to be doing some of the pro camps as well. I'm participating in a By the Pros tournament that will take place the beginning of November in Florida, and then also doing By the Pros camp in Nashville in January. So hopefully I'll be able to get more of those in the calendar because I'm really excited about that. And yeah, and then my day job, I'm going to be working remotely for Under Armour. I did a project for their consumer insights team this summer. And so I'm going to be continuing on as a research analyst for them, doing a lot of work in the field actually with athletes. So I'm super excited about that as well. And hopefully there will be more opportunities to play. I think the pipe dream for me right now would also be to work on opportunities to expand the pro league, because like I said, we've worked our whole lives for this. And I wish that there, you know, there are so many people like you, like the people who started AU, who are giving us a voice and a platform, but I want to continue to build on that. And I think that we deserve more opportunities to showcase what we do. And I hope that that can be a dream that can, you know, come to fruition, and I can help be a part of that.
Of course, of course. And, you know, congratulations on your job. But as a Nike girl myself, you know, I got Nike gang over here. Just got to say that. But that's amazing. And I'm so glad that you're able to like pursue, you know, something that you're interested in and working with athletes and doing this like consumer research and analysis. And then, of course, on the coaching side, too, like being able to share the knowledge that you've gathered and going to, you know, all these different places I know will make such an impact. And, you know, on the note about expanding the league, like, I'm so with you on that. That is one of my dreams, you know, and I think you and I are probably just about the same age, you know, I'm a little bit out of college, you know, 4 years ago, but who's counting? But when I think back to like when I was in high school or even middle school, like there was barely any talk about women's lacrosse, and I don't think I'd conceptualized a pro league. And so I'm so glad that we've seen this growth, and like, we will continue pushing for even more growth. You know, there won't ever be a point where we're like, okay, well, thanks. Like, you know, you gave us this and we're so grateful. It's like, okay, let's keep growing. Cause that's how an impact is made.
Definitely. I mean, I think when I was younger, I was obsessed with the US women's soccer story. There was like a documentary called Dare to Dream, I think. And I was absolutely obsessed with it. And like, I look back on that and I'm like, you know, they had nothing and they started from nothing. And I think that it takes some people who are really passionate about it and want to push for it, because obviously there's going to be a lot of people who tell you no. And so hopefully, you know, I think being at AU was inspiring, and I saw how many people want to push for that. And so I think I'm really going to try to leverage those connections, and hopefully we can make some movement on it, like you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm excited to continue cheering you on, you know, just so excited for you and all the things you have and will continue to accomplish. And hopefully we'll get to see you in a particular, you know, color set, red, white, and blue. I don't know. Maybe who knows who's listening to this podcast? Who knows who's listening? Y'all, it was all me. But no, I you know, I'm just really excited for you. And thank you so much for your time. You know, we had so many great points of conversation that I hope everyone listening also enjoyed. But yeah, thank you so much, Lauren.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.